So my second story is D16. Antoine talked about it last week, had their state of play, and it is 25-ish minutes long, so there is a lot that they covered. Mostly, basically, they were talking about how gameplay works. So the way it looks like you're going to be playing is you can't control your other party members. You can send them commands. So, for example, you can say, okay, I want you to attack. I want you to defend. I want you to heal. That sort of thing. But you can't control them directly. But the way combat seems to work, from what I'm looking at with the UI, it looks similar to Dragon's Dogma, where you have your triangle, your circle, your square, your X button. And X is jump, square is attack, triangle is some sort of spell that is associated with whichever icon you currently have equipped. So if you have Shiva, you cast ice. If you have Ifrit, you cast fire. And obviously other ones like Odin has some non-elemental magic or maybe some kind of defensive magic or something like that. And then you can switch your icons on the fly. So whichever icon you have, then you can get access to their spells. If you hold down R2, you get another wheel of abilities. So in that sense, it reminds me of, say, Dragon's Dogma or Phantasy Star, you know, where you have your basic and you hold down a button and then it pops up another layer of commands, that sort of thing. So they talked about that quite a bit. They talked about accessibility. In this game, there are no difficulty settings, so you cannot make it easier or harder. However, they have accessories in the game that you can equip to make the game easier. So they call these timely accessories. So for instance, they have an accessory called Timely Dodge. And what that will do is when an attack is about to hit you, time slows down, a ring appears on the screen, and if you hit the dodge button within that time, you dodge the attack. So things like that will make it a lot easier because it basically makes the window for needing to dodge much higher. Or you could equip an accessory that is automatic dodge, and then you will automatically dodge and you don't even have to really dodge at all, which in a lot of ways reminds me of Nier Automata, because they had, for an easy mode, they had, I don't remember what they, chips, a chipset that you could equip, and those things were things like auto attack, auto dodge, those sort of things, to the point where you could actually completely automate gameplay, where if you got into a fight, you could put the controller down and it would take over the fight for you. And it looks like this might be doing something very similar in that regard. And they also have a story mode, which at the very beginning of the game, if you select story mode, it just equips all those accessories from the get-go, and it'll just make it so that the game should be trivially easy for you because it basically auto-plays. So there are no difficulty settings, but there are ways to make it a lot easier if you only want to worry about the story and you don't want to focus on the combat and that sort of thing. Also, another thing that kind of reminds me of Nier Automata, to me this feels like they're taking a lot of inspiration from Nier. Part of it was like what I said with the chipset thing, but then also too, there's the gameplay itself, where traditionally in Final Fantasy, going way back, we had turn-based, and then we had some kind of real-time, like in Final Fantasy 15. But in this, you're going to get into fights, and some fights are going to be real-time, like what you would expect in, say, Devil May Cry or Final Fantasy 15. At other times, it's going to be, you're going to have your two guys on the two sides, and they're going to fight like a Street Fighter-style thing. And if you can even see at the top, it has two health bars, one for you, one for your enemy. So it goes into a Street Fighter kind of mode. They have 3D shooter mode, basically, where it's the side-scrolling shooter, like the old games like Galaga and that sort of thing. So they're adding a whole bunch of different, and they said each icon fight is going to play out differently. So when you're fighting Bahamut, who's a flying enemy, you're going to be fighting him in a certain way. When you fight Titan, which is just his massive enemy, you're going to be fighting him in a certain way. So each fight is going to be unique. It's not going to be, it's not just one style of combat throughout the entire game. So in a lot of ways, I've definitely seen people say this doesn't feel like a Final Fantasy. And if I had to say gameplay-wise, it actually looks closer to a Nier game. But the setting, the story, all that is very classic Final Fantasy. So it'll be interesting to see how people receive it. So far, it's been mostly received pretty positively. A lot of people are giving the graphics a really hard time. The graphics do look subpar when you're looking at something like, say, Horizon Forbidden West, or what is it, the Senua's Hellblade, that game. When you look at some of these really graphically intense games, this does look several steps back. So the question is, why does it need the PS5's processing power if graphically it's not that intensive. If I had to guess, I would say some of these set pieces are just absolutely massive and there's just a lot going on in them. For instance, the Titan fight has these giant stone pillars flying around and all that. So I would have to say maybe it's not using it so much on the graphics as it is on just the number of things on screen, particle effects, just the number of enemies. It can just processing. What it's processing is simpler, but it's processing way more of it. So I think it's just that is what is it. But yeah, it's there are going to be a lot of people asking, why could this not be released on other consoles? Why does it have to be PS5? And looking at the trailer, that's a very legitimate question, I will say. But yeah, that's basically everything, if I remember. Yep.
The only other fantasy person has to comment here, because I have nothing to say about this.
Wow. Unique fights. They did it in the F15, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you fight Titan or Shield, it's always scripted in a way that all the fights are unique, which is good. It's just that the way that to summon your summons in F15 is complete trash. And I'm being polite not to be beeped on YouTube, of course. But I really hope that they understood their mistake from 15 summon-wise, at least, because the summons were completely useless in 15. Apparently, with the system that they had in 16, they corrected a bit. I don't mind the change because the game has to evolve. Nier was a very good game. If they have influence from it, good for them, to be honest. It's always the same. I laugh because a couple of days ago, I saw an article saying, Final Fantasy is moving for the future generation, so the original fan base is based. And you said the same for 10, 12, 13. Every time there's a new Final Fantasy, they say, same article, same words, they just change the numbers. Of course, the game has to evolve. Of course, you can't make the same game as you did 20 years ago. If some great sides can be picked from other great game like Nier, and if they make it work, then it's a good idea. I don't mind that. Graphic-wise, again, I'm pretty sure that it's just a commercial way to sell PS5 and say officially, we are not making PS4/PS5 game, but now we are fully 1 year and a half after releasing PS5 or 2 years or whatever. We are making PS5 only games. Seeing that it's one of my explanation, because from what you could run on PS4 perfectly, there's nothing better than FF15 graphic wise. I don't know what you're seeing, but doesn't look that much prettier. So I don't see why, apart from the commercial aspect. What did they say? It's shorter. So the main storyline is supposed to be done in about 30, 40 hours. So it's supposed to be shorter. Again, as long as you streamline the main story, 30, 40 hours, not that short, because there's always a side quest. So you're going to end up playing 80, 100 hours anyway. So it's a moot point, to be honest. We'll see how it goes. I was really disappointed with, in the last Final Fantasy games, how they made use of the sevens. So that's one of the main points that I want to see what they do with it.
Those are very different. The way it works in this world is the summons are, there are people called dominants, and a dominant and some can basically transform themselves into one of these summons. So you only have one dominant per icon. But for whatever reason, Clive's brother, his younger brother, was the dominant for Phoenix. But for whatever reason, Clive has this ability that he can either take over or copy these. And so that's why he is the only person who seems to have access to multiple forms. And so I don't know if maybe a limit break allows you to transform, or if you only transform in certain parts of the story. But when you're regularly fighting, for instance, if he has Odin equipped, then he can use certain abilities, like there's something called Sheath, where I guess he just puts the sword in and pulls it out, or he can get the, I don't know how to pronounce it, was it Zenzakuken or whatever, the attack that Odin does. If he switches to Bahamut, he can get wings on his back and basically do Dragoon-style attacks. So he doesn't summon the icons themselves, but he can transform into them under certain conditions. And I don't know if that is a limit break where you can transform fully into Ifrit, or if you can only transform into Ifrit during boss fights, and then it's only done then. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be random like it was in 15.
Yeah, that's the under-sensing condition, which just sends big shivers down my spine. Because in FF15, that's exactly how you do your summons. Under certain conditions that you never meet. Because it's mainly when you are low health and you have seen two summons or three and one of them was scripted. But I think it's a good idea. Did you see when they transform into their summons? Is it like FF10 and you know, the party members disappear from the ground or they're still around?
Every time I've seen Clive in his summon form, it's always been in a boss fight. So every time, I've never seen him fighting smaller enemies as it. So it looks like it might be scripted where it's like, okay, we're fighting this other guy. He's the dominant of Titan. He's going to go all out Super Saiyan mode. So we go all out. We go into our Ifrit mode and then you fight that way. And so if I had to guess, I would say you can only access your summon, the fully summoned form in scripted battles where, you know, you're not accessing it in the field. This is something that's basically reserved for special situations.
Very not hyped about that.
That's my assumption.
Let's hope it's wrong. And sorry, but if you can't freely control your powers, what's the point?
You control your powers, you just can't. I just don't think you can go into that big form.
I had lots of fun in the old FF summoning Bahamut, especially in 7, like the one who threw orbital beams onto a poor frog. That was fun to see the poor frog getting obliterated. They're like, okay. That was fun. And it's just for boss battles and yeah. Climax, yay.
Yeah, they do say Limit Break's return, and I haven't seen anything that's clearly a Limit Break. So I don't know, maybe a Limit Break is, you can choose which summon, you know, you access, you can now access your summoned form. I don't know.
Don't listen to me tonight. I'm full of sarcasm and just out. You can hear it, I'm sure. In certain conditions. I'm not going to buy PS5 for that if it's under certain conditions.
The other thing is, this is going to be chapter-based, similar to Final Fantasy VII Remake. So you are playing throughout Clive's life. There are three separate points in his life. The first one is when he's a teenager. Second one, he's in his 20s. Third one, he's 33 years old, which makes him the oldest Final Fantasy protagonist ever. I know, 33, and he's the oldest protagonist ever. Not the oldest character. Obviously, some characters have been older, but he'll be the oldest protagonist. But because of that, if once you've completed chapters, or maybe once you've completed the game, you can actually choose which chapter you want to play. So if you want to fight a certain boss again or something like that, you can just go back to that chapter, load it up, and then go back and do that. Kind of like in Final Fantasy VII Remake, where it was like, oh, okay, I really enjoyed this chapter. I don't want to have to play through the whole game. I just want to go straight to that part. And you can just say, okay, go straight to chapter 13 or something like that. So it is going to be using that structure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like a book. Yeah, it's fine, I guess. But for this, they really need to... Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, keep finish, Antoine. I was just like, I gave you guys 10 minutes for Final Fantasy talk and we've already...
Yes. Again, it's a very good idea. As long as fight is climatic enough for you to just redo it by itself without the story around. So they must be very confident in Templar's battles.
Now, this is my fault. I unleashed the beast, but I said, Antoine, I don't know. They hate you talk. Never do that again, middle-aged game. So I learned my lesson. This is the seventh time.
I'm coming. Yeah, I learned.
All right, I think I'm going to skip my last story so we can talk about games we have been playing. And Antoine, have you been playing? Have you managed to have any time to play any games this week? Mobile, self, or otherwise?
We haven't talked about what we played for a while, so I can say that I have been playing games from the past, Blast from the past for a while. Lately, I bought StarCraft 2 on the Battle.net platform, so Blizzard again, after Warcraft Reforged and WoW, and so I'm a Blizzard fan. Yeah, I never realized it, but I am. And StarCraft 2 is an RTS, real-time strategy. I know it's not something that you make these days, like Red Alert, Tiberium Wars, Command & Conquer. This kind of game, StarCraft 2, I never played because I wasn't really attracted to it when I was a kid. And what a mistake, it is fantastic. I really love it. In the 2 is very old game, but as you may know, it's an esport game, a very strong esport game. So the cinematics on it are very nicely made, almost brand new, very good. So they have lots of stories. I finished the first campaign, human campaign, Wings of Liberty. And I'm going to start, whenever I can, the second campaign with the Zerg. There's going to be a third campaign with the Protoss. And the fourth one, I don't think it's a campaign, but more like some side mission with a Spec Ops lady called Nova. It's fantastic. It's really cool to go back to an old RTS like this. I understand why so many people are crazy about it. And of course, StarCraft is the game introduced Zergrush. Zergrush. I don't know if you know that, but when you play online with other people, you know the guy who creates the structure in a very definite order to create basic units and rush you at the beginning of the game when you're like, I'm going to put my tower here and then go back to Zeesh and do that. And all of a sudden you have a flood of basic creatures destroying your base. That's a Zergrush. And that's coming from there. And that's why I hate online playing with other people. I much prefer playing by myself on the campaign. But yeah, he's coming from there.
I was a big RTS fan. I have not played an RTS in a very long time. I think before I left to India, I was playing Age of Empires 4. I was really enjoying that. Unfortunately, as is usually when you take a break from games as a middle-aged gamer, you come back and you're like, oh, do I want to get back into that? And I ended up doing a bunch of Switch stuff. And then now I'm back onto PC with Xbox Game Pass and playing Everspace 2 at the moment. And I guess I'll talk about that. Yeah, that's fantastic. I was telling the guys before the show started, I was just not feeling work these days and feeling a bit dissatisfied. So I'm like, oh God, I need to shoot something. I could not find a visceral, violent game that satisfied me. I'm like, okay, let's try for a space action game. That was pretty fun. So if you've not heard of it, Everspace is like the space roguelite game. I think it's the only space roguelite game. And the first one was basically you start off in a ship, you go around, shoot stuff, you die. After you die, you upgrade your ship, just like a typical roguelite game. The second one, they've put in a bunch of like this stories in there, and it's like an RPG. There's upgrade systems and stuff. It's like totally changed. And you can imagine being me, I'm not a big fan of the story. I'm like, I just want to shoot stuff, die, and do it again. I don't want to listen to this story. And the worst part is, right, the guy's name is Adam, and he sounds just like this Adam over here.
Oh, he's awesome.
So it's, I mean, he's awesome. He's like a cool military, like clone pilot. It's a really fun game. It's pretty, again, it's like the typical Everspace price point. It's about $30, free for Game Pass at the moment, if you're interested. Yeah, I'm enjoying that a lot, and I'm looking forward to playing it today, since I did not have a chance yesterday. Adam? You've been playing, oh my God, I forgot.
I've been playing everything. I just finished Persona 5. So finally, it said that to beat Persona 5, it should take you 130 hours. It took me 129 hours and 8 minutes. Thank you very much. I was 53 minutes fast. But
well done.
Yeah, I know. But the way Persona does time with the limited of days and weeks, this is not a game where I can go wandering off like Starfield. So that's probably why I was able to beat it in time. However, I did not do some things that were necessary to unlock the third semester. So basically, I got the base game ending, not the Persona 5 Royal ending. So I'm going to have to go through and play New Game Plus now. So I'm going to do that. But April has me spoiled for choice with Jedi Survivor and Forbidden West. And what was the other one that was coming out? I can't even remember. But lots of stuff coming out this month. And then I'm still doing the Frozen Flame beta. They had an open beta. It was supposed to last through the end of the week, but as of yesterday, they took down most of the public servers, so I'm not quite sure if they're going to put those back up before the end of the week or not. But I've been streaming that, having a lot of fun doing the survival mode with that. And yeah, so starting this week, I'm going to be doing Burning Shores, and then after that, I might move back into Persona. We'll see.
We still got a little bit of time. I saw something interesting on Instagram today that I thought I forgot to ask you guys. And it was like, if somebody's starting as a new PC gamer or a new PlayStation gamer or a new Switch gamer, what are 5 things they should know if they just bought a PlayStation today or a Switch today or a PC today? So we know what Adam's he's going to do the PlayStation. Anton, do you want to do PC or Switch?
PC.
Okay, then I'll do the Switch. Let's go. Since we only have 7 minutes, let's aim for 3 each. 3 things someone should know if they're buying a PlayStation today. 3 for PC, and I'll do 3 for Switch. We'll go ahead and first.
I would say that depending on where you are, so this is something, if you're in the States, it's probably not an important thing, but for somebody like me, knowing that games are released differently on different regions, so always make sure you got your language settings. But what you can do with most games is I could buy a game on my US account, play it on my Taiwanese account, and I could still get trophies and everything for it. For example, Persona 5 here, this is the US version of the game, but I'm playing it on my Taiwanese account. So, yeah, you can buy things across that. What else? Oof. What do you need to know? How to use a controller? I'm trying to think, what do you need to know? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I need more time to think.
Okay, we'll go on to Antoine. We can come back and cut those in. All right, Antoine, three things for a PC person buying a gaming PC today.
Okay, your PC was very expensive, so you want to play cheap. So you download Steam and wait for Steam sales. You get yourself PC Game Pass, $10, $11 a month with a massive library that's cheap. You go on to Epic one or to one free game every week, nearly, or one or two actually. That's the three things you want. You have absolutely no reason apart from impulse buying to buy a game on day one at full price. That's my advice.
Nice. That is short and quick. That is the perfect short. My three things as a Nintendo Switch owner, if you're just buying a Switch today, be mindful that the Nintendo Switch 2 or Pro is probably going to come out within the next year or 2 years. Yes, it's been said this might become like a Half-Life 3 thing, but yep, I believe there's a Nintendo Switch going to come out. Be mindful of that. Number two, as a middle-aged Nintendo Switch owner, you're going to hear lots of things about Joy-Con drift and stuff like that. Right? As a middle-aged gamer, you don't have time to play the Switch as seriously and crazy as some other people. I've had a Switch for 6 years, 5 years, a long time. No Joy-Con drift at all because I don't play like a crazy person. So don't worry about Joy-Con drift as much as you're going to read it. Unless you're a crazy 8-hour-a-day gamer, 365 days of the year, not going to have to worry about that. Number three, just echoing off what Antoine said, Switch games are on sale all the time. There's a bunch of YouTubers who cover Switch sales. You can get games for 49 US cents and decent games at that. You're going to see full price games, so like Mario games, come down to $40 or so. So yes, buy games on sale if you really want to go buy games out. And oh, the fourth thing I should also mention is with the Switch, you can trade games. So if you buy a game from somebody else, you can just say, hey, lend me your cartridge, plug into your Switch, you can play that. That's it for me, and we'll run off with that.
Okay, so basically make good use of sleep mode. You can definitely, if you want to download something, then you can download it while it's in sleep mode. For instance, all your patches and stuff will automatically do that. So if you turn your game off, when you turn it back on, if you've got a new patch, you got to download it, you got to install it. But if you leave it in sleep mode, it'll automatically cover all those things for you. And for the last one, I had it and then I forgot it. Oh, no. Ugh. Yeah, it's so hard. Oh, if you are the kind of person who's going to be doing any kind of recording or any kind of video editing or anything like that, the controller, I have one right here. There's a little button on it. And this button, if the button is on, then that means that if the button is on, that means the microphone is off. So by default, the microphone is on. So I've seen lots of people put up clips online. Like I was watching somebody doing a Final Fantasy Tetra Rhythm game, and you can just throughout the entire clip hear this click. That is because they did not turn the microphone off. It is on by default, and it is going to hear every button press in that thing. So if you are using headphones, it's not going to be an issue. But if you only want to record game footage, make sure you mute your mic.
That is very useful advice, and that sounds about perfect. Just to keep you guys updated, and we'd like to thank everyone who has done it so far. We have hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, so a big thank you to everyone who has supported us, especially all the people who support Full and still continue to watch us. Hopefully we'll get Full on back at some point in the future. To all the new people who love the shorts, keep in mind that we'll be trying out one short a day thanks to Antoine's suggestion. So we did one short a day since last week. You guys have loved it. I'm going to continue doing that. So come back to the channel every day. You actually don't need to come back to the channel. Turn on your YouTube app every day. And if you like our stuff, you'll eventually see it. I see our shorts all the time. You can find them on Facebook as well. You can also find them on Instagram and TikTok. So keep an eye out on that. And then, yep, stay tuned for next week for more news, more current gaming. And we will see you guys next week.
See you next week. Yes, so just...